everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined, as always, by Pete Zayas. Pete, today's stupid, fun, hypothetical question is, are there any parlor tricks you wish you could learn?
Any parlor tricks? What qualifies as a parlor trick? Like three-card Monty, that type thing?
Well, just like anything, you just like break out at a cocktail party.
No. I want less attention on me.
You? Yeah. I want less attention on me, says the guy who would always go and play the piano during the cocktail parties that we have.
I would go in the other room to play the piano. I was not trying to. I just like playing piano, man. That's all.
If I played it as well, I'd want to play it too. I would want to learn card tricks.
Yeah.
Like that shit is so fascinating to me. Now you gotta be really good at it, you know? So like, this isn't the kind of thing, like there's nothing worse than the guy who plays the guitar, but like breaks it out way too early in the process of learning the guitar. Right. So they like start playing the song and you're like, oh, okay, I know what song there's, bang, you know, oh, that sounds like, bang,
yeah.
Nothing worse than that. And then for, you know, the card trick thing, you know, all right, guess a card or, you know, is this your card? No, fuck. Nothing worse than that. So if I were to learn it, I'd want to be really, really good at it. But that whole thing just really fascinates me, that the way that they can kind of trick the eye of whoever they're playing the trick on. That stuff's really fun.
All right.
There's a show on Netflix about this that I've watched, and it went viral one time because like they tricked everybody into thinking they were invisible. Mm-hmm. Like they hired a bunch of, you know, basically extras. They told like everybody that was at this park, like, hey, by the way, everybody, we're telling this person that, you know, when I snap my fingers, they are now invisible. So they're going to walk around. I'm interested to see what they do once they figure out that they're invisible. So don't react to them in any way, shape, or form if they walk up to you, right?
Right.
And it was just like this amazing, amazing thing to watch. Like somebody walked up and started drinking some people's wine. It was incredible. It was a really, really cool thing. It went viral on Twitter like I'd say about a year or so ago. But yeah, that's where I would go. Today's episode, we were a little behind on mailbag questions, because the last couple Sundays have, you know, been either there weren't enough questions to fill an entire show, or like last Sunday was Mother's Day. So I let them kind of pile up on iTunes, and then I asked for a few questions on Twitter. We have plenty, probably more than enough to get through today's episode. Let's start though from iTunes, and then we'll work our way to Twitter from there. The first question here comes from a million HI. I'm guessing million Hawaii. That's Hawaii, right? HI. Mm-hmm. The NBA needs to move on and honor more recent stars. MJ is one of the greatest, but what's not said is how big a jerk he is. He's a terrible role model for a child if you care about values and personality. I've shut off NBA stuff for weeks now. Stay safe. I'm not going to get into the second part of the question because, you know, there are a lot of people who think that that's what made him as successful as he was the way that he approached basketball and leadership. We had an entire show about that. But I'm interested in the first one. So if you were given the ability, and somebody, you know, your favorite documentarian came up to you and said, hey, I'm going to do a documentary, 10-part documentary on whoever you want, who would it be?
I mean, you know, obviously Kobe's the you know, obvious answer here. So we'll... LeBron would be doing it on himself, right? Like he would be like controlling. Well, I mean, he's got his media operations and whatnot. Kevin Durant is super interesting to me. Like he's very often,
just because he keeps dunking on Matt.
A lot of times, like, you know, I actually have Durant blocked on Twitter because I have Durant blocked on Twitter because I don't want that popping up in my mentions one day. Like, he's bored and I'm like, oh, I got to deal with this shit now. So like, it's a preemptive block. He's never done anything to me. I don't have anything against the man. Just like, I don't want
that. Super interesting to me. I never want to interact with him ever.
Yeah, I just don't want that shit. And just like, I think his responses to Matt are kind of lame.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, necessarily the president of fan club there, but like when he's like, yeah, just like, I know you are, but what am I, basically, or like,
yeah,
keep crying and all that. It's like, if it was anybody but Kevin Durant, like, people would be like, you know, that's a terrible, that's a response. Lame
response.
It's like lame ass response, right?
Yeah.
And so just to kind of, why is he the way he is, you know, from a personality standpoint, but also like, you know, there's, the league's never really seen a player like him before, mm-hmm, or since. Like, there are other guys with kind of guard skills, but he's like one of the great shooters of all time at 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Nobody's really ever moved like him before, or even in the 13, God, it's been 13 years since he came into the league.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a guy just like overall, I'm really curious to know more about him.
One thing I really enjoyed about 30 for 30 was their approach to like their entire project. Like the basic idea behind 30 for 30 was we're going to find 30 mostly untold stories and do our best to inform you about those stories. Like, I find that the most interesting, right? I think, mm-hmm, where we get into some trouble is, all right, here are the safest subjects we could make. Like, Michael Jordan is one of the safest subjects of a documentary you could possibly have, right? Everybody's going to tune in for Michael Jordan talking about Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if there's like, to the reason I'm saying this is I don't really know what subject I would have out there. I would say, look, you're the documentarian. You are one of my favorite documentarians for a reason. Give me your subject. Show me what you're passionate about. I want to hear you talk about, make content about what it is you're passionate about. Because once that passion shows up in the content, that content's going to be great. So I it's kind of a cheap way of getting out of the question, but that's kind of the approach I would have. If it was just about a certain player, Durant's an interesting one. My problem with Durant is, I think, like, I would never want to interview Durant because he would never give you, like, he would never meet you halfway. I could say something that he agrees with me on, and he's going to start with no, but, and then wind up agreeing with the point, right? So, you know, one thing I was just talking to, we recorded Locked On NBA a second ago with Adam, and, you know, we're doing what ifs, and he was saying, what if KD just stays in OKC? And does that 2017 OKC team win a championship, right? Because they were really effing good. They were up 3-1 on that Warriors team. They were a really good team. And, you know, the thing that I kind of, I made a joke. I said, well, if they do and win a championship that way, Durant probably isn't in Matt Moore's mentions all the time, right? He probably isn't telling people to cry more on Twitter, you know? Mm-hmm. And the analogy I would make to it is, I'm a huge Assassin's Creed and God of War fan for video games. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also everybody's a big fan of Grand Theft Auto. Remember the first time I was playing through Grand Theft Auto, like Assassin's Creed, God of War, there are some things you could do to make the game easier, but there aren't like the cheats that are available to you in Grand Theft Auto games. And I played through a story with like all of the cheats on Grand Theft Auto. And it was like a really, really good story. And I was actually like pissed at myself for taking the easy way out there, because like the struggle of playing that game is part of the experience of playing that game. And part of me wonders if KD at this point is kind of upset at himself for winning the championship via cheat codes, like the easy way, and kind of carries that with like when overcompensates to tell, well, you guys are crying about it. You guys hate the way I did this. You guys are that. You guys are this. But I would love to inject KD with some truth serum and just have him answer the question, are you proud of your first championship? Are you proud of the championships that you won there in Golden State? Could you, would you have been happier if you won them without, you know, the cheat code of all cheat codes, which was that Golden State team? I'd be interested. If I could get that, if I could get to that answer, that's a documentary I want. That's the interview I want. But when, we're never going to get it.
Fair enough. I find other aspects of him interesting beyond just the, like, he's just kind of a, I don't think anybody else is quite like him in the NBA, for better or for worse. Just, I think he's got a different personality than anyone else.
Yeah. Another subject of a documentary or an interview I'd like is Andrew Bynum. I've always found him really interesting. He's somebody who was like open about the fact that basketball wasn't his deepest passion, but was also passionate about basketball enough to improve the way that he did. You know, he took major strides forward. And I've always found him a very interesting basketball player.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next question here. This comes from Lake, a few underscores show. You guys should do an episode or a segment where you talk about last summer and the whole Kawhi free agency thing. It was a crazy process, and I think we'd like to hear you guys reflect and look back on that crazy time. I think this is a subject that, you know, as a what if in our what if series, like what if the Clippers don't trade for Paul George? And we can go down that rabbit hole. But do you remember like where you were when Kawhi signed?
Oh yeah, I was on my couch, and they had just had the earthquake in Vegas. Remember during summer?
Oh yeah,
that Vegas. It was like, what's going on? And then get the notification from Chris Haynes. I'm like, oh no, right? And you know, we'd been hearing a lot of chatter about the Lakers being right there, and it was just like, oh no, right? And then the next one was, and they're trading for Paul George. So yeah, that in terms of, you know, what I remember about it, what I remember is just so much of the chatter. The Lakers thought they had him, you know, they thought they had him. And that the fact that they were so far off on that will always ring true or be an interesting lens to look at the front office through, meaning that they were also kind of off on their intel on Darren Collison. Mm-hmm. And so that, in what has been a really tremendous year for Rob Pelinka, I do think that valid criticisms can be extended to kind of their intel gathering.
Which is very important.
Which is very important. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's what I remember mostly from it. It was also like we had plan B lined up.
Yeah.
Not soon thereafter. So it wasn't, it sucked, but it was not as bad as it could have been. But yeah, there's no like Kawhi, LeBron, and AD. That's, you know, we passed the Celtics in championships.
All time team.
Yeah.
I think we've reached a point where I can tell this story, and I'm going to tell it after the break. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Built Bar is easily the best tasting protein bar I have ever had, and I'm willing to bet that it is the best tasting protein bar that you will ever have. Personally, I have been waking up lately, you know, I have a baby in one hand, I'm making coffee in the other, so I slip the cup under the Keurig, open myself up a protein bar, and it's enough to hold me over until Avery finally takes her nap, and I can make something closer to a real breakfast. But even if I didn't want to, you know, get around to making that real breakfast, those protein bars are just filling enough to tie me over. It's a great way to, you know, skip the occasional meal if you have to. If you are just dying, you know, everybody thinks Snickers, right? Well, these protein bars taste about as good as a Snickers bar and are also a trillion times more nutritious for you. They have 16 flavors that you can choose from. They have something for everybody. So head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll save $10 off your first order. Again, that's BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off that first order. BuiltBar.com. So I'm not going to go into specifics on who we were having dinner with, but Harrison and I were having dinner with a couple other people in this industry. And you know, that was, like you said, the day that all of the earthquake hit, right? We went over, I forget which hotel it was, but we were eating dinner at this place that is kind of one of the popular restaurant/watering holes for NBA personnel. It's like right up the street from the arena and all that stuff. And so we're all eating there, and obviously, you know, the four of us, we were eating dinner there. All of our phones are kind of on the table because of the time of year it was. And all of us at the same time get the Woj notification, right? Mm-hmm. So we all kind of like reach really quickly for our phones. And so I obviously I saw it. I reached the thing. But what I'll remember more than the moment of reading the actual notification was, again, we're in this small restaurant, not smallish restaurant, and you know, you see all these guys, you see like players, right? You could tell they're players because they look like NBA players. You have like, you know, assistant coaches. I believe there was a couple general managers kind of in you know, behind us over there. Everybody has their team gear on, and it was this buzz of, you know, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, and then. 5 people get out of their chairs and literally run out of the restaurant because they had to now like handle whatever it was that they had to handle, start working on whatever it is they had to start working on. And because, you know, when somebody like Kawhi signs, there are other players that are at that point waiting for his decision, right? As evidenced by, like you said, the plan B. So you had a whole bunch of people, whether it was mm-hmm. agents, executives, scouts, whatever, coaches, just at least five people sprint out of the restaurant, get to work or whatever. And like everybody else, there were some people who were like just laughing their ass off, right? They were from other teams, like, fuck the Lakers, you know. And then, so, you know, we go through that experience. Harrison and I head down to Harrison's car. He was going to take me to the house that I was staying at and hang out there for a little bit. And the people that were already there at the house had a few drinks. They knew that Harrison and I were walking into the house, and it was just this explosion of noise and laughter from other bloggers, other beat writers, you know, whatever, other Twitter personalities who were in this house. And, you know, I was just happy.
I wonder what their favorite team's record is right now.
Worse than the Lakers, I can tell you that much. So yeah, that's, you know, it's a bit of a generic. At some point, you know, when I get permission from the other two people who we were at dinner at, it becomes a way more fun story. But that, like, the thing that I remember isn't, you know, has nothing to do with the people we were having dinner with. It has everything to do with the setting that we were having dinner at, and then the reaction from throughout the restaurant as that bombshell dropped. You know, coming off of a literal earthquake, it felt like there was an earthquake in that restaurant when it happened. It was wild.
It's a good story.
All right. Next question here comes from TG23_Mamba24. TG23. Who do you think? Probably that guy's initials. Hey, Anthony and Pete, someone put out the idea about possibly adding Zach LaVine to the roster, though it's probably not going to happen. Could you go over some possibilities to make it happen and how that team would fare in the playoffs? I mean, I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's a possibility either. You'd have to include Danny Green's contract, but the Bulls aren't going to go like, oh boy, Danny Green at $16 million, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not an attractive. So it would have to be Kuzma, probably a first round pick. I'm not as big of a Zach LaVine guy as others are. I think he makes mm-hmm. a lot of mental mistakes that are not conducive to winning, especially at a high level.
Yeah.
But he could score the crap out of a basketball, that's for sure. And the Lakers mm-hmm. do need one more guy who can do that. I just don't see any plausible scenario where the Lakers could trade enough to where the Chicago Bulls would be like, oh yeah, that's enough to get in return for LaVine.
LaVine's a really fun tanking point guard. Like, he's great if your team, if you know that your team isn't going to be very good, you just want to be entertained on a nightly basis. Like, he does things like at least one time per game that really like gets you out of your chair. But like you said, not a great winning point guard. It makes way too many mistakes.
Well, yeah, they got him at the two, but still, like, it's he's just a guy that's a, I mean.
But they have him at the two because he literally is doesn't play intelligently to be a point guard. So, like, he's a two, and he's like Jamal Crawford, basically, who, like, you know, even at Jamal Crawford's peak, I'm not really sure how conducive he was to winning. You know,
Absolutely. He's a bucket getter. Levine's a bucket getter. And yeah. The type of bucket getter we need is the type that probably makes less than $20 million because the complications that we said earlier. Like, of course we need what Zach LaVine can do. We just don't need a guy to spend $20 million doing that because it would require giving up some valuable pieces of the team. And, you know, we need a backup point guard. We need somebody who can score off of ball screens, which he can do, but you can find those guys for cheaper than that.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I guess he could play in those lineups. I guess if you have like Caruso at the point guard and then LaVine there at the two, you're able to switch in some of the defensive stuff there would be mitigated against, but like you said, $20 million for Zach LaVine, you're not going to have a winning basketball team if he's on your roster at that kind of rate. You know, it sounds like I'm shitting on him, but that's just, you know, kind of the nature of the game. Let's go one more question here. Captain Matt writes, "Hey Anthony and Pete, I have a what if scenario for you guys. If Shaq and Magic were able to overcome the Bulls and win a championship, Shaq probably stays." Oh, Shaq and the Magic were able to overcome the Bulls and win a championship. Shaq probably stays with the Magic. What do you think the Lakers front office would have done had they not been able to get Shaq?
They would have signed Brian Williams and Dale Davis. Brian Williams, later Bison Dele, who passed away tragically in, I think, a boating accident. But good center. Dale Davis was the power forward for the Indiana Pacers at the time. That was going to be the backup plan, from what I understand. Davis was a one or two time All-Star, like, good player, not a star or anything. But and then Bison Dele or Brian Williams at the time, was a very good starting center. But yeah, big downgrade, right? Go from a 24-year-old superstar to a couple of really good front court players.
Part of me wonders if they even plan around Shaq, you know, if he doesn't eventually, like, you don't sign Shaq without having done your homework ahead of time, you know, and Shaq, if I remember correctly, or the Orlando Sentinel or one of the papers that covered the Orlando Magic at the time, put out a poll of like, would you max out Shaquille O'Neal? And I believe the poll came back like in the no direction.
And that was like the 10. Yeah.
That was like the final, you know, kick out the door for Shaq. And like the, you know, yes, they had a plan B. I never knew their plan B, so I just learned something alongside you guys. But I think their plan B there wasn't as important as their plan B, say, this last summer with Kawhi, because they really felt, you know, confident that they were going to get Shaq, you know, with homework that led, you know, maybe a year or two up to that, because that was before Mitch Kupchak even. And, you know, Mitch Kupchak famously is the Boy Scout general manager who refuses to tamper. I'm sure there were some behind the scenes conversations that the Lakers were conducting to know a little bit more about whether or not they even had a chance at Shaq and whether, like, how important plan B would even be. Let's take one. We do have another second here, right? Yeah. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we have a handful of questions left to get you into your guys' weekend. All right, so the next question here comes from Twitter. I'm going to save some of the questions that came over the course of this week for Sunday. First question here comes from at Tomo_Yee. If you could ask one question to anyone related to the NBA, player, coach, executive, etc., and they had to answer truthfully, what would you ask and who would you ask? Can be alive or dead. Thanks.
Oh boy. There are so many people. Oh, I would love to, it's one question. I was going to say, I'd love to sit down with Phil. I mean,
I think in this, for the sake of this exercise, you get like follow-ups, right? To make sure you fully suss out the question. So like if you could talk to one person affiliated with the NBA about one subject and fully get their complete honest thoughts on that subject, what would it be? Who would it be and what would it be?
Kobe Bryant on leadership. He was a guy that I think was largely misunderstood. Obviously, I'd be a sympathetic ear, right? But I'd be very curious to hear more about his approach to getting a team to work together. That's something that we really know Phil's approach to that to some degree, at least. Jordan is telling us that in the most recent episodes, in fact, of The Last Dance. Kobe, I felt, was kind of a misunderstood leader, and that was something that he really grew into as time went on and his years went by. So I would love to hear, especially with all of the great people he was surrounded by, with Phil, with Jerry West, even Shaq, right? Like Shaq led a couple teams to a title, right? Kobe was alongside him, but Shaq was the dude. And just what Kobe absorbed over the course of his career with respect to leadership, because that's not something that we can really see. That's so much behind the scenes. We talked about this in the last pod we recorded together. That's just something that we could see that we couldn't see, that I'd love to pick his brain on. What about you?
That's a good one. I already did the Kevin Durant thing from earlier, so I won't use that again. I would love to talk to Jerry West and pick his brain for what he looks for in like guard prospects, because he has a gift with that. That, you know, I mean, obviously everybody looks at, you know, because he was there kind of for Magic, and then for Kobe. He famously stood up for Klay Thompson, right, in Golden State. But there was also Nick Van Exel, Eddie Jones, right? I would just love to know, you know, and fully pick Jerry West's brain for where he starts on, you know, what he's looking for in guard prospects. Is there an it factor that you learn in talking to a player? Is there, you know, the game has evolved over time, and he has seemed like the kind of players. Klay Thompson, his kind of eye for those players has kind of evolved as well. Although apparently he was a big Dion Waiters guy, so that's a bit of a knock on that line of thinking. Everybody has their mistakes, but that would be somebody that, you know, other than the Kevin Durant one, that's my $1 million question. I just want to know, like, if he's actually okay with those championships. But Jerry West, like talking to people who are great at what they do and trying to figure out why they think they are great at it is something that I've always been fascinated with.
Likewise. That's a great way of putting it. And here's to hoping that Kevin Durant shows up in your mentions one of these days. Maybe you'll get that chance.
He's gonna listen to this show. Apparently, like, he would listen to all kinds of smaller. I don't know if you read Ethan Strauss's book, but he would listen to even the smallest Golden State Warriors podcast just for, you know. Fortunately, this is a Lakers show, so I don't think he cares about the Lakers. I think we might be unclear.
Fingers crossed.
Watch tomorrow. My first. He's going to like at me out of the blue.
Laker film room has Kevin Durant blocked on Twitter. Big scandal.
Boy,
I regret saying that now.
Like tomorrow.
You fucker. Do not promote this show that way. I'm like so tired. You know I'm tired. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that on air. I just, like, I'm tired. I don't want to deal with bullshit.
Like, I'm just going to, like, tomorrow's tweets are going to be like, why, at Laker Film Room has at Kevin Durant blocked.
You better not.
All right. right. Next question here comes from at @WillPowell_4. If you had to host LeBron and AD for dinner, what would you cook for them? I think this is for me specifically, but I would love to, I would love your thoughts on this subject, Pete. What are you cooking for LeBron and AD?
The finest Captain Crunch berries in the land. I get that sugar milk at the bottom of it just right. Nobody does that better than me.
All right. So obviously LeBron loves tacos. He loves wine.
Does he though? Have you seen the tacos that he eats?
Well, all right. All right. So I would introduce LeBron to tacos.
There you go.
So I would probably cook for him. We found some carne asada out here that might be even better than the stuff I made back home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's really good. It's like, it's got a little bit more of a kick to it. I made that last week. I'm probably going to be making that tomorrow. So I would make that. The nice thing, so a lot of people think that, you know, if you're drinking something or if you're eating something spicy, you want to be drinking, you know, like a white wine that is chilled or like a more refreshing cocktail. Obviously, everybody goes usually like with a margarita. But actually, if you have like a nicely zested food where it's not spicy, but it's zesty, and you pair that with a red wine, it actually enhances both. It makes it really good. So that's probably where I would go there for LeBron and AD. AD probably likes whatever LeBron likes. So I'm not too worried about cooking for AD. Let's go few more questions here. This comes from at Run the Jewels. If the NBA were to bring back the one-time-only amnesty clause, who is a player you could see being released that would be an ideal addition to LA's roster? So you and I did some research on this before the show. There are way too many variables here to figure out, you know, to actually answer this, you know, to the normal degree that we answer.
Right, we can't comprehensively answer it, yeah. But... Yes.
So just to keep things simple, I looked up 2022 free agents, right? Because anybody like who's going to be a free agent in 2021, that's an expiring contract. They aren't going to get amnesty. I don't think. So 2022, and I could look 22 and beyond, but this is only a one-time question. We can come back to the subject. I'm going to offer you a few names that I actually think might fit the bill here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So starting up at the top, you have, So the Hawks, their only free agents are probably going to be Herter, Trey Young, Bruno Fernando, who nobody really cares about. The Celtics have Marcus Smart. I don't think he'd be amnesty just because he's such a vital key, you know, vital part of their rotation. Nets have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Torian Prince. I don't think Prince might, but I don't think Durant would be, or Kyrie. That would be hilarious. You have Terry Rozier with the Charlotte Hornets, who might be, just because his contract is so awful. It's just one of the worst handed out over the last couple of years. You have Thaddeus Young from Chicago. That's an interesting one. If a 36-year-old Thaddeus Young were available, would you be interested?
Probably not. I've always liked him. He's a good defender, underrated player, you know, stretch four type guy with some ball handling ability. But at that age, probably not, especially not at a position where I'd go no on that.
DeLon Wright from Dallas.
Maybe.
Let's see, we have Gary Harris from Denver. I don't think they amnesty him, but he's been involved with a lot of trade rumors, like a surprising number of trade rumors.
Sure, and he had a really bad year this year.
Yeah, so that might be an option. I'm not really he's a great defender, but his shooting is really inconsistent and he can't seem to stay healthy. A 35-year-old Blake Griffin.
Oh.
I take this back. So he'll be 33. They actually have these listed at the age they'll be when they would be available, or when the
right when they would be free agents in 2022. So they would be younger. I mean, like, look, all of these are gift horses, right? In that you're not gonna be like, oh, like, no, I would not if we get them for free, like, yeah, of course I'd consider all of them. I think the reason why teams would be doing this, right, would be largely financial.
Which gets us to the one that I really want to talk about.
Right, right.
Russell Westbrook.
I think he's like one of the likeliest names that are out there because of Tillman Fertitta and his financial situation. So, yeah, I would take Russell Westbrook. I know that's an awkward fit, to say the least, with LeBron and AD with his three-point shooting. But there's a lot of talent there. They're certainly doing interesting things with him in Houston, kind of using him as their five, essentially, in a five-out offense where they've gone really small ball. AD has some three-point shooting. There's just too much talent there where if you were able to get a guy like that for free, that overrides. You figure out the fit later. You know what I mean? Yeah. And even if he's just the guy who's running the second unit, plays some, you know, some cursory minutes with the starters, but he's really him instead of Rondo. Like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be, I think that's my, that'd be the most fun scenario here. Just, I don't know. I'm not positive it would work. You know, he's obviously an upgrade from what the Lakers potentially have there. I don't know if you'd be able to convince him to play primarily with the second unit, right? That's a big ask of a guy who averaged a triple double, you know, former MVP, all that stuff. So I don't know if that'd be able to work. But the idea that somebody like that might actually hit the open market because Tillman Fertitta can't afford the team he owns is just tremendous.
Yeah. That's we're deep in
hypothetical,
you know, speculation and hypotheticals.
Let's go last question here for like last serious question. We have a fun one to finish it off. What's the chances next year Dwight re-signs for the vet mint? That comes from at RK Kicks.
I will say 30%. I think he's earned more money than that. He also seems to have found some type of Zen Buddhahood in Los Angeles that perhaps keeps him here because he's happy and he's not looking to make a couple million dollars more. But I think more likely than not, he would go where the money is because that's what most guys do. But that's just a guess.
Yeah, there was I'm forgetting the name. He played for the Orlando Magic. He is now, I don't think he's knighted in the UK, but he has some kind of like fancy title in the UK. He was thinking about being a Laker to back up Shaq and wound up staying in Orlando because he felt loyalty to Orlando because they were the only team that came calling when it looked like his career might be coming to a close. And I bring him up, and I wish I could remember his name.
This wasn't John Amici, was it?
It was. There you go. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So apparently the Lakers had made him an offer to come to the Lakers and back up Shaq. But he passed on that offer because he wanted to show loyalty to the Orlando Magic. He's like the only guy I can think of who has ever really done that.
Sure.
You know, sure. And that's why I bring him up. Look, it would be great if Dwight did that, but I'm also kind of interested to see if Dwight's career can come full circle, right? Like right now he is playing in a role that's probably smaller than, you know, his talent still. And I would like to see, like, could he grow into a bigger role while also remaining mature enough to understand what makes him valuable to a team? Like that would be really interesting to me. And, you know, I'm actually really pulling for Dwight from this point forward. I would be thrilled if he was interested in coming back next year. I think it gets a little complicated because I think Boogie wants to come back next year too. So are there enough minutes for Dwight, Boogie, and JaVale?
We can't sign Boogie to anything other than a let's hope it works out. We cannot depend on Boogie's health.
Yeah.
Like he seemed to fit in really well with the guys and all of that, but it would be extraordinarily foolish to sign him under the expectation that we need him. He's got to be, you know, gravy if it works out.
Right. But can you convince Boogie of that? Can you convince AD of that? You know, that's the complication there. So, yeah, I would welcome him back. I'd probably put the percentage a little bit lower. I'd probably put it down at like 20%. I just don't. He's earned his money. He should be able to make. It's sure. probably going to be his last, you know, big deal like that. You know, so go out and get paid. Let's go to the last question here. So this comes from Dan Mayer. I think I'm pronouncing it right. At Dan Mayer 42. Are you concerned that Avery could become a Toros or, heaven forbid, Spurs fan? One of my two became a Bulls fan. We live near Chicago, and I've been second guessing myself ever since. I mean, I'm not one to call out anybody's parenting, but Dan, come on. I'm kidding, obviously. No, my dad, like, his favorite running joke is my Vikings fanhood. you know, the day that I told him that I was going to be a Vikings fan was, he says, one of the funniest days of his life.
That's cold. You should have reconsidered right in that moment where, yeah, he was like, no, don't do it. He just laughed. Like, well, like, you'll see.
It was like, they were like 15-1. I was like, what could possibly go wrong? Right. so yeah, that was, you know, I think for Avery, I don't see her being very rebellious. She's pretty clingy, actually. Maybe that changes. That probably changes over the course of her life. But, you know, the people, the kids who tend to kind of venture out, either happens because the local team is really good, or, you know, peer pressure is the second option, or because they hate their parents, right? And I think in this case, I don't see the Spurs being very good again. Popovich is going to retire by the time Avery cares about basketball. It's a smallish market out here. They haven't had success outside of the Tim Duncan era. So, like, I'm not too worried about the Spurs. That would really hurt. So if she became a Spurs fan, she'd be doing that for a reason. And that would mean I have way bigger problems on my hands than,
yes,
than Avery becoming a Spurs fan. It's tough though. Like, I also don't want to tell them, hey, you have to be a, because that's the bet. That's the easiest way to make them not be a Laker fan, is if you tell them you have to be a Laker fan.
Yeah. I mean, you don't explicitly tell them that, but, you know, I plan on there being a totalitarian regime in that respect where they're fully propagandized.
Yeah. And, I'm doing that for sure.
Yeah, you know? No, but like no dissent is tolerated. like, I would rather they came home and said, Dad, I had to kill a guy. And I'd be like, you know, well, let's go hide the body. Then my kid's going to be a Celtics fan, aren't they? Like, I would disown them.
the day that you tell me, hey, little Laker film room junior is interested, is showing a deep affection for the color green, would be like one of the funniest days.
I'd be like, who? Friendship. Who? Never heard of him.
It's like the Celtics would be tough. The Spurs, I think by that time, the Spurs are going to be pretty much irrelevant. I have really no faith whatsoever in that. Like, it really says something that Kawhi Leonard was that sick of being there. Like, I don't think they get enough shit for how sick of being in San Antonio Kawhi Leonard was. So, you know, if that's how they're going to treat players and that's how players see their time in San Antonio, then I don't think they really understand the NBA. And as such, I'm not particularly worried about them. Dallas might be interesting because Avery's going to be growing up in the Luka era. And you know, he's going to be really popular out here. Plays a fun brand of basketball. So that might be something to be concerned about. If she came home and said she was a Houston Rockets fan, given like how, or Astros, Oh boy.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. That would be a kick straight to the balls. She'd be an only child. Like, I wouldn't be able to reproduce. She'd hit me in the nuts that hard. But yeah, we've already started. She has Lakers onesies. I'm going to, you know, when she moves into her room, it's going to be you know, just enough purple and gold for her to know something is up and get her to love those colors. We've already started on that stuff. And then also I'm going to tell her like, hey, the Lakers have like pay for all of this. So, I mean, it's just ungratefulness if you root for anybody else.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On and save $10 off that first order. We will be back on, well, we'll see if we're back. We got to get a few more questions on iTunes. So if you send those in the form of a 5-star review, they are guaranteed to get answered. But for now, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else and stay safe out there. And we'll talk to you on Monday.